Okay, Rabbosai, so we learned the dinim of Bishul Min HaTorah on Shabbos, and now we're moving on to the dinim of Midrabanan. There are Gezeiras Midrabanan related to Bishul. Yesterday we spoke about one of them, the Gezeirah of Hefsher, but there are three other big ones that remain, which are the dinim of Shehiyah, Hachazara, and Hatmana. Shehiyah means that you are leaving food on an exposed fire from Erev Shabbos. That's the din of Shehiyah. The Gemara on Daf Yud Ches, the one Yud Ches on the base, says, according to Beis Shammai, Shehiyah is also min HaTorah, because Beis Shammai holds of the din of Shvisas Kelim. Therefore, according to Beis Shammai, if I leave food on an exposed fire, so my pot is doing malacha on Shabbos, and that's like really, really bad. That's also min HaTorah. According to Beis Hillel, Shehiyah is also aser under certain circumstances. So the pshat in Beis Hillel, though, the Gemara tells me on Yud Ches Amud Beis, is that Beis Hillel says that it's aser because of Gezeira Shem Yechata B'Gochalim. The iser is that you might stoke the coals. That's the shita of Beis Hillel. So the iser of Shehiyah means that you might stoke the coals. Now, the Mishnah at the beginning of Perek Kira tells me that there's a difference between different types of kiras. A kira basically is the type of oven that you can have one pot inside and one pot on top. That's the kira. Chuk, chuk, right? One inside and one on top of it. So the Gemara says that there are different types of fuel. If you have kash and gevava, you have the type of fuel, it's like the equivalent of paper. If you ever tried to burn paper, you know that after you burn paper, it burns like a minute and then there is nothing left. So by paper, there's no concern, shem yichat to begecholim. Kash and gevava, you have straw, etc. There's no concern of shem yichat to begecholim. There's no coals that remain. However, if you have gefes and etzim, if the fuel used for the kira is wood, and wood, even after it burns, there are going to be some coals that remain, and those coals might begin to wane. They might begin to lose some of their heat. So by gefes and etzim, there is a concern of shema yichata begecholim. And in that situation, the Mishnah tells me, lo yitain ad sheyigrayf o sheyitain es ha'efer. In that case, the only time you can use this oven is ad she yigrayf, if you remove the coals. According to the majority of Rishonim, this means that you remove all of the coals. So the coals are no longer inside the oven bichlal. The Baal HaMa'or has an unusual pshat. The Baal HaMa'or says that ad sheyigrof means that you remove most of the coals. That's the Baal HaMa'or's pshat. Okay. So the din is, a kira is aser. If the kira is fueled with gefes and etzim, you're not allowed lo yitain ad sheyigrof o yitain es ha'efer until you get rid of the coals or you put some ashes on top of the coal. That's what it says in the Mishnah. The Gemara has a question. What does that word lo yitain mean? Does the word lo yitain mean that you are not allowed to do hachazara, that you cannot return the pot to the fire, the pot that was on the fire beforehand? If you took it off, you can't put it back unless it's gufo ketumah. Or does the Mishnah mean that lo yitain means lo yishhet, that you're not allowed to do shehiyah? You can't leave the food there unless there is grufo ketumah. According to the opinion that the Mishnah means lo yitain lahachazir etznan, if you hold that when the Mishnah says lo yitain ad sheyigrayf, that means you cannot do hachazara, That tells me that shehiyah is mutter even without grufa uketumah. That tells me that leaving the food on the fire is permitted, even though you don't remove the coals and you don't put the ashes on the coal. That's what it would mean. Now, obviously, the Mishnah's lashon is a tavshil. It's only called a tavshil if something is cooked somewhat, to some extent. So, if the Mishnah means lahachazirtznan, but shehiyah is mutter, even though it's not grufa uketuma, but it uses the word tavshil. So to be a tavshil, it has to be cooked kimaicho ben drusai. Remember our dear friend, the fleeing fugitive ben drusai? Right. So the food has to be kimaicho ben drusai, which means either half cooked or a third cooked. So, according to the opinion that the Mishnah is lahachazirtznan, shehiyah is mutter once the food is maichel ben drusoy. And this opinion is called the Tana Chananya. Chananya is the name of the authority who says that the Mishnah is lahachazirtznan, shehiyah is mutter. Right, on an open fire, providing it is kemaychol ben drusay. That's the Tana Hananya. The Chachomim disagree with Hananya, and the Chachomim say we only permit shehiyah once the food is fully cooked, and it is going to be mitzameik v'ralo. Right, the Chachomim who disagree with Hananya would say that we only permit shehiyah if the food is fully cooked, and further cooking would mess it up. That's the din, according to the Chachamim. So again, Chananya says once it's meichel ben drusa, you could leave the food on an open fire. The Chachamim say I can't leave the food on an open fire unless the food is mamish fully cooked. Not only fully cooked, excuse me, fully cooked and it is mitzdamek v'ralo. That's according to the Chachamim. Rav HaRishonim paskin like the Chachamim. Rambam, Rif, right? The majority of the Jews hold like the Chachamim. That means that shehiyah is only mutter if the food is fully cooked. Taisvis paskins like Chananya. Taisvis in a few places, on the top Taisvis on Lamed Zayin and Aleph writes, Mishum de Kaimalan Chananya. Taisvis says, we paskin like Chananya. The Shulchan Aruch in Reish Nun Gimel Se'if Aleph has two opinions. Opinion number one is like the Chachamim of Chananya. Kira, which is what it is, you're not allowed to lo yitin tavshel lahashos alav ela imkain nispashel kol tzarko v'hu mitzdamek v'ralo. The first opinion in the Shulchan Aruch is like the Chachamim, it has to be fully cooked, mitzdamek v'ralo. That's the only time you can leave food on an exposed fire. The Mechaber then quotes a Yesh Omrim. The Yesh Omrim says that even if the food is cooked, kemaicho ben drusoi, so it's going to be permitted to leave the food on an open fire. The Yesh Omrim in the standard Mishnah Brura edition, Siman Reish Nun Gimel Seif Aleph, is very long. So in the standard Mishnah Berurah edition on page Chof Amud Aleph is where you have the first Shita. And then you have to turn two pages till page 42. And on page 42, right, you have the Yesh Omrim. The Yesh Omrim says, if it's in the special Kamaicho ben Jerusoi, it is Mutr Lahashos al Gabe Kira. The second opinion follows Chananya. The Rama writes, "V'nahagu lahakel kisvara achrona." The Rama writes that the minig is that we follow the second svara in the Sefer Kaf Hachayim, which is a Sfaradisha posek. He quotes that the minog of Sfaradim is also like the Svara Achreina. Again, this depends on something we've discussed a few times. When the Mechaber has two opinions, Estam and Yesh Omrim, what exactly does that mean? Right? Do we mean that you follow the second opinion? You follow the, it's unclear. It could be that the minig of both Ashkenazim and Sfaradim is that you follow the second opinion, meaning once food is kemaychol ben drusoy, you could leave it on an exposed fire. However, the Mishnah Brewer was very firm. Chafetz Chaim, Mamesh, Hater Geven Achim Emensh. And the Chafetz Chaim writes in the Bir Halacha that how come this second opinion is quoted at all? Let's be honest, the overwhelming majority of Rishonim hold like the first opinion. What's the pshat in the second opinion? So the Chafetz Chaim writes, and you have to look in the Rosh. The Rosh says it's the first Rosh in Perakira. He writes a lashon of Hoyo v'Yisrael adukim b'mitzvus oneg Shabbos. That's why they follow the opinion of Hananya. The Rosh quotes both opinions, and he says, you know what? B'shvil sherebu hadeos b'hai piska v'Yisrael adukim b'mitzvus oneg Shabbos v'lo yishma'u lahachmir. Right, so the Rush writes, Klal Yisrael, yeah, whatever, they're following a makom opinion, but don't think they're bad Jews. Like they're being mekayim oneg Shabbos. Right, Mamish, it sounds like something Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Bar Dichter would say. Mamish, you know, like they don't think they're bad. They're following oneg Shabbos, right? Doing oneg Shabbos. So hanach lohem liYisrael. Zot the Mishnah Brin the Bir Halacha. What that really means is that on a fundamental level, we don't hold like the Sheet of Taisus. The Rosh is saying, don't hold like Taisus. The Rosh is saying, hanach lohem liYisrael. The Mishnah Brura reads that based on the statement that the Gemara has in a number of places, Beit Zadah Flamed and elsewhere, hanach lohem liYisrael, mutav shu shoygi genayim mezidin. Right? So therefore, you should not rely on Hananya fundamentally. That's what the Mishnah Berurah holds. The Chazon Ish says, "Dear Mishnah Berurah, you're quoting the wrong Hanach Lehem LeYisrael." The Gemara elsewhere says, "Hanach Lehem LeYisrael im einam neviim hein b'nei neviim." No, meaning that the Rosh is not saying that, oh, b'koishi hitiru, the Rosh is not saying that it's a shivera kula. The Rosh is saying, yeah, Klal Yisrael is into the midst of Einik Shabbos, and they got it right. The minig of Klal Yisrael is that they got it right. They made on the Vim Heim B'nei Nevi'im. That's the way the Chazanish says it. So the Mishnah Berurah is inclined that you should really follow the first Shita in, right, in the Shulchan Aruch. Only leave food on an open fire if it's fully cooked in its stomach for rabbi. The Chazon Ish says that the minog of following the second opinion is a legitimate minog. Now, when I said shiurim on Parakira, I happen to have a mahalach that's a teeny bit like the Mishnah Berurah, but not exactly. If you read Rashi, right, it's important to learn Gemara and Rashi. So you read Rashi on Lamed Vav Amid Beis at the beginning of Perekira. Rashi is bothered by the kasha, what exactly goes on that Klal Yisrael, that we, what's it called? That we leave food on an exposed fire once it's Maichob and Jerusoy. So Rashi's Lashon is, actually on Lamed Zayin, Rashi's lashon is adchananya samchinon. Adchananya samchinon. That sounds like a much less rigorous endorsement, no? Unlike Taisus, who says kaimel and kachananya, Rashi says that the Hananya Samchinon. That might mean that according to Rashi, it's taka not proper to follow Hananya, as opposed to according to Tosfos. But whatever it is, the minhag of Klal Yisrael has been that when food is cooked k'maychol ben drusoy, right? Certainly the minhag of Ashkenazim, maybe the minhag of Sfaradim also, like the Kappa Chaim says, food is cooked k'maychol ben drusoy, you leave that food on an open fire. The Mishnah Brura, probably because of what Dr. Soloveitchik wrote about in Rupture and Reconstruction, the Mishnah Brura is not into mimetic tradition. The Mishnah Brura is a text, is textual, right? And the texts say, don't rely on Hananya. So therefore, the Mishnah Brura says, yeah, Claudius was Nike, big whoop, right? That's basically Judaism according to the Mishnah Brura, right? Funnily, in this case, the Chazon Ish ends up like defending the minhag. Okay, so under which circumstances are you allowed to leave food on an exposed fire? The first mahalach is Hananya. But we discussed maybe mehautnish from Hananya. But there's another mahalach which is found again in Yud Ches Amud Beis in the Gemara. The Gemara says Kidra Chayisim. That if you have a raw piece of meat, and the raw piece of meat is thrown into the pot right before Shabbos, hay kidra chayisa shari la'anucha erev Shabbos im chashecha b'tanura. You can leave the kidra chayisa erev Shabbos in the oven. Kevon de lo chazi lo orta asuchei mesach daita minei. This is a raw piece of meat. This raw piece of meat is not going to be ready for your Seuda Friday night. It will be ready for Shabbos lunch. So there's no chash of Shem Yechata B'Gecholim. Right? I'm not worried maybe you're going to stoke the coals. You're not going to stoke the coals. Because it ain't going to help you. Friday night, this is helfnisht. Shabbos morning, it's going to work anyway. So you're not going to stoke the coals. So kidra chayisa is mutter. And the Shulchan Aruch in Simen Resh Nun Gimel Se'if Aleph tells me that you're not allowed to leave food on an open fire. The first opinion. But if it's kidra chayisa, so then it is going to be mutter. In nasan b'chaticha chaya mutter, right? Meaning not only kidra chayisa, but even garma chaya. Even if I have one bone that is not going to be cooked Friday night, but will zichar be cooked Shabbos day, so that's going to be okay. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Even the fire is not grufo k'tuma, it's okay if you have one bone there. Now, this is interesting because lamaisa, if the food is fully cooked and mitzdamek v'ralai, it's mutter. If the food is not cooked at all, it's mutter. The only isser is if the food is partially cooked. Right? The same idea would be true according to the second opinion of Shulchan Aruch. If the food is not cooked at all, mutter. The food is cooked k'maychol ben shusai, mutter. That tiny bit of space between fully cooked and maychol ben shusai, that's when there's an isser shehiyah. And I should note that what does it mean that the food is completely raw? So the Chazon Ish writes, if the food did not get to Yad Seila, despite that's the equivalent of being completely raw. Very reasonable approach. So there's a din in Shulchan Aruch Kidra Chayisa. Now, a few things that are worth investigating. One, does Kidra Chayisa apply only to the case in the Gemara, only if it is a ruah piece of meat? Or garmachaya, mamash a raw bone. But what about if I throw raw vegetables or the like into the pot? So they quote, and Rav Rimon Sefer, he points out that the Rambam in the Perish HaMishnah sounds like not only a raw bone, but the Rambam in the Yad HaChazokah sounds like only a raw bone. Okay. The first, the Shabbos of my Prabba, I was the rabbi of Mount Sinai Jewish Center here in the Heights for 10 years. So the Shabbos of my Prabba, I don't know if this was a setup or not, but the president's wife comes over to me and she's like, it was right before Shabbos and I didn't really put up the challenge and I'm a vegetarian, and I put the raw barley in the pot right before Shabbos. Is my cholent treif? That was her shayla. She's like, I know this halacha, right? She had learned in high school and seminary. She knew that the meat is perfectly raw. She's asking, what about the barley? Now the Mishnah Berurah and Seif Katan test. By the way, at this point, once we're dealing with Dinim Drabanan, Stam Hafnaot L'Simin Reish Nun Gimel, not a Simin Shin Yud Ches. In Reish Nun Gimel, the Mishnah Berurah Seif Katan test writes, Dav Gebasar Chai, Avo Yerek U'Sha'ar Devorim, Lo Mahan Yishu Chai. The Mishnah Berurah says you have to be Machmir. However, the cheshbin of the Mishnah Berurah is that the food gets cooked very quickly. The shaar devarim, like the vegetables, the way he writes is the vegetables is kali habishul. So it's going to get cooked anyway. The barley, I don't know if barley is like a vegetable. A vegetable will get cooked very quickly. The barley, in order to cook it to the extent that it's mamish edible, you have to cook that barley for a very long time. So I told her, listen, mitzad the din of kidrachai, so I don't think it applies only to raw meat, especially you're putting the food in a slow cooker in the crock pot. Even if it's barley, I said it should apply. But I said, you know what? It's not poshut that we hold of this din kidrachai of Bizman Hazan. Not pasha that we hold of it, right? So first they liked me because I came with the kula. Then I say, well, it's not pasha that you could be makel. Why not? So there's a few reasons why it's not pasha to be makel on kedra chaisa b'sman hazeh. In the Sefer Nefesh Harav, they quote that Rav Soloveitchik felt that today the heter of kedra chaisa doesn't apply because our cooking devices, you could turn it up super hot, super high. So the idea of Kidra Chaisa is that Maman of Shachet is not going to be cooked Friday night, and Maman of Shachet will be cooked Shabbos lunch. But Bizmaneinu, the Rav says, you can heat it up super high, and therefore it could be done Friday night. That's what the Rav said. The Rav Henkin, there are two volumes of Kisri Rav Henkin. If you join the RCA, you could send them a note and they'll send you the two volumes like $10. It's a steal. It's a great deal. So in the second volume of Rav Henkin, I believe it's on page 47, he says two reasons why Kidra Chaisa doesn't apply. One reason he says is that what we have today is a blech. And the blech, you have part of the piece of metal right on top of the fire. Again, we'll talk about blech in a few minutes. You have part of the piece of metal further away. And there's always a concern that you'll move the food from the part of the, from the area that's not mamish on the fire to the area that's mamish on the fire, then it could cook higher. That's one cheshbon he has. Again, that's not such a gevaldik cheshbin because when I'm talking about kidra chaisa, I'm talking about like an exposed fire, not with a blech, but okay. But then Rav Henkin has another cheshbin. He says kidra chaisa means that you have food that's mamish rua at the beginning of Shabbos. Dude, when's the beginning of Shabbos, right? Do you hold of shkia? You hold of tzeis. Shkia, is it the normal astronomical Shkia, or is it maybe the Shkia of the Rabbeinu Tam, which is a face like 50 minutes after the Shkia HaNir'eis? Maybe it's some area in between, because maybe the Rabbeinu Tam is giving Zmanim in Germany or something like that, but our Zmanim are different, like Rav Moshe Feinstein says. Fuzzy math, I don't know Zmanei Hayom, Rav Henkin says. Right, no hat of Kintra Kaisa. Because it's got to be right the Haskalas HaShabbos. Other Svarim say the same Yesod in a slightly different Nusach. And the Shvisas HaShabbos, we like him. The Shvisas HaShabbos says, what's considered Haskalas HaShabbos? You know, I'm Mekabel Shabbos when I like Neiros on Erev Shabbos. That's Kabbalah Shabbos, no? Lighting Neiros Shabbos is what? 18 minutes, 20 minutes before the Shkia HaNir'eis. In Yerushalayim, Yer HaKadosh, Tibon HaVisikonim, B'mher B'yaminu Amen. It's 40 minutes before the beginning of, before Shkia HaNir'eis. What's the din of Kintra Chaisa? Does it depend when I'm Mekabel Shabbos? Or is it totally on when Shabbos actually begins? Right? Does it have to be Ruah when I accept Shabbos? Right? Well, if it's Ruah and I accept Shabbos, by the time Shabbos actually begins, 18, 20 minutes later and 40 minutes later, it could be it's not Ruah anymore. Not at all Pashut. The Magen Avraham sounds like it depends on when Shabbos actually begins. If it depends on when Shabbos actually begins, so the din of Kiddush HaKaseh doesn't really apply. Because if I'm not going to put the food on the fire after Hadlakas Neiros, no? Ich bin nicht der Paskun Yach. I'm not such a bum. Not going to put the food on the fire after Hadlakas Neiros. And if that's the case, I put them before Hadlakas Neiros. It's not going to be Chaisa by Haskalas HaShabbos. So the entire din doesn't apply, says the Shvisas HaShabbos. That's already also, that's an interesting cheshbon. So I have Rav Soloveitchik is not into Kiddush HaKaseh. Rav Henkin is not into Kiddush HaKaseh. Shvisas HaShabbos is not into Kiddush HaKaseh for a reason similar to Rav Henkin. The Sefer Archos Shabbos, beautiful Sefer, no? The Archos Shabbos writes that Kiddush HaKaseh doesn't apply Bisman Hazeh. Because what's the lomdus of Kiddush HaKaseh? It's not going to be ready for your Friday night meal. But it will be ready for your Shabbos meal mamanashach. Well, dude, that means you've never had yeshiva guys over for a Shabbos Suda. You have yeshiva guys over for a Shabbos Suda. How long does a Shabbos Suda take? It could take 4 or 5 hours, no? By the time you go through all this miris in the bench and everyone says their divrei Torah, right? The meal can mamish, shlepsach and shlepsach. And the food will be ready at the end of the meal. What? You were never such a yeshiva bachur that you had cholent for dessert. Come on. Right? But yeshiva guys eat cholent mamish from Wednesday through Tuesday. So, like, what's going on here? So the Archos Shabbos says the whole head of Kiddush HaKaseh does not apply bisman hazeh. There's also the cheshbon of the Tosfos Yeshanim. Again, these are cheshbonos like practical halacha. The Tosfos Yeshanim has a lamdash cheshbon. Tosfos Yeshanim on the side of the page, I think on Lamed Ches, writes that the kula of Kiddush HaKaseh is only according to Hananya. Remember, Hananya holds that once the food is nispashel k'maychol ben drusoi, so I'm not nervous that you're going to stoke the coals. That means, according to Hananya, I'm not that nervous you're going to stoke the coals. Once the food is going to be edible, at some point you won't stoke the coals. If you hold like the Chachamim, that the heter of Shehiyah is only when the food is nispashel kol tzarko mitztamek viralo, that means that I'm more nervous that you might stoke the coals. Even though the food is edible, you might want it edible quicker. Zuck the Tosfos Yeshanim. Again, it's not an exact parallel. One could obviously disagree. Tosfos Yeshanim says he thinks that the kula of Kiddush HaKaseh is only Nemar according to Hananya. Because Hananya is less nervous about Shemi Achata B'Gecholim. So Hananya would say, Kidra Chais is okay. But if you're more nervous about Shemi Achata B'Gecholim, then there's no cool of Kidra Chais. So basically what I have are like four reasons why Kidra Chais doesn't apply. So when the Eishes HaPresident asks me about putting the barley in the slow cooker, so I said, well, it's not pashut that the kul of Kidra Chaisa applies bisman nazal, although, according to Rav Soloveitchik's reason, that the cheshbin of Kidra Chaisa, of Kidra Chaisa, is that you could turn the fire up very high and you'll cook it in a short amount of time. So the Rav says that doesn't apply, right? It doesn't apply bisman nazal, because you can turn it up, it will cook very short. But if you have something called a slow cooker, so then it could be that Rav Soloveitchik's reason to be machmir, right, doesn't apply. His reason to be machmir is I can make it really hot. If I have a slow cooker, I can't make it really hot. No, it has numbers, 0, 1, 2, 3, 4. But number four, also it ain't going to be cooking that hot. It doesn't get that hot. Okay. That is Mr. Spitzer. It looks like you raised your hand virtually.
Is there an Isser? I mean, the whole question is assuming that there's an Isser of Maisa Shabbos on Shia.
Yes.
I don't know. I'm just asking. Is that?
The Pashtus. Yes, Shulchan Aruch assumes that there's an Isser of Maisa Shabbos on Shia at the beginning of Reish Nun Gimel. It's clear there's a din of Maaser Shabbos. The Mechaber says that there's no Maaser Shabbos if the food is mevushal kol tzarko, even if mitzdamek v'yafalo. But there is a din of Maaser Shabbos. It will be also, yeah. If anything, the Maaser Shabbos by dinim d'rabbonon is more chomer than the Maaser Shabbos by dinim d'raisa. The Gemara has a discussion about Maaser Shabbos by hachazara. And you get the impression that we're more machmir. Machlokes from Ein Reb Yehuda by the Oraisos, it could be that by the Rabbanon, everybody is more machmir. Okay, Zolzain. So, are there any other kulas? So I said you shouldn't rely on. So here's the thing. Oftentimes, when I am asked a shayla, I'm not going to say mutter or usser. I'm going to give like a mini shear. Right, and let people decide on their own. Right, you have no control of what people are doing in their own kitchen anyway. So you present the shaitas. Right, yeah, there are some who hold this would apply. I'm not saying it's not justifiable, but I think it's not proper. What she did, I have no idea. Right? I don't know. So are there other kulas for food? Remember, if the food is Maichel Ben Drusoi, so the second opinion, Shulchan Aruch is Meikol. If it's Kidra Chaisa, Shulchan Aruch is Meikol, but that approach is debatable. Even the approach of Maichel Ben Drusoi is somewhat debatable, like we pointed out in the Mishnah Berurah, in the Bir Halacha. So there's another din called Toyach Betit. Toyach Betit means, the Gemara talks about if I have like deer meat or something and it's in the oven and the oven is covered over with tit, meaning you have like a lock on it. So the Gemara says that by toyach betit, there's no concern of shami yachata b'gacholim. Now the Rambam understands that din to mean only by deer meat, because by deer meat, the meat will get burned and destroyed and ruined if you will stoke the coals. We're not really concerned you're going to stoke the coals because it's tayach betet, but that alone would not be a kula. We'll only make on tayach betet if it is also deer meat. The other Rishonim disagree, and the other Rishonim say, no, toach betet helps. Even if it is not deer meat. Toyach betit helps on everything. The Mechaber holds like the Rambam. The Mechaber holds that the kula of toach betit only helps by deer meat. the Ramah, and this Ramah is in Resh Nun Daled, Seif Aleph. The Ramah writes that Toyach Betit is going to help by all foods. Do we have Toyach Betit on our ovens? So some suggest that what you could do is if you take the knob off the oven, that's the same of Toyach Betit. Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach is misupik about this. Rabbi Yoshev is misupik. Because I take the knob off the oven. I put the knob in my drawer, right near the oven. Just like I took it off, I could put it back on. If you're nervous that you might stoke the coals, which for us, the pashtus means that you'll turn the oven higher, so then maybe you have to be nervous that you're going to take the knob out of the drawer. There are these things called baby locks. Right? If you have a little kid, say you worry that the little kid is going to go and turn on the stove. No, you have these, right? So you have like a piece of plastic that locks the knob into place that you can't do it unless you push hard. That might be more likely to be like Toyach Betit, but not abundantly pashut. Rav Rimon in his Sefer thinks that maybe it could be make on Toyach Betit if you put some tape on your knobs and you tape it up really well, so it's going to take tremendous effort. But Toyach Betit doesn't mean that you can't access it. It just means that it's a shver arbit to access. It's hard to do it. So if you tape it up, or maybe if you just have that little lock, maybe that's enough to be considered Toyach Betit. And if that's the case, maybe you could leave food on the exposed fire, even though the food is not fully raw and the food is not yet cooked, kamaicha ben drusoy, that in between stage, you can leave it on the exposed fire if it's toach betit. That's the other kula. Now, there's another kula though, which is called the blech. The blech. Remember, the Mishnah tells me at the beginning of Perek Kiva that if you have a tavshil, so lo yitein ad sheyigrof o ad sheyiktom, you can't put the food until you do grufo ketuma. We say grufo means you remove all the coals according to most Rishonim. Ketuma means you put some ashes on the coals. Grufo ketuma helps. If the food, the pashtus grufo ketuma helps, if the food is in that stage between completely raw and maichol ben drusoy, if it's grufo ketuma, it helps. Now, we don't cook with wood on an open fire. You know, my son used to go to this camp, a wilderness camp called Camp Yagilo. So Rabbi Tani Prero like wanted to teach them the halachas of grufa ketuma. He also wanted to get them into like asking Shiloh. So they call me up like this emergency Shiloh. What are they supposed to do about this cholent that they're making in the middle of the wilderness? They have like a 10-day bushwhack. It's like their thing. It's not that's not as like a hike. A bushwhack means like that you're hiking down on a trail, right? So whatever they these are the dinim in Shulchan Aruch. Grufa ketuma helps, no? To leave the food, right? Grufa ketuma, even if it's between fully rua and machu ben drusoy, grufa ketuma helps. But what exactly is grufa ketuma in our mitzvahs? So some say a blech counts as grufo ketuma. Because just like in their times, ketuma helped. Ketuma cooled the coals down. Or ketuma, right, that's why Rashi learns. Ketuma makes the coals cooler. Or according to the Rambam, ketuma shows a mesiach das. I'm not going to be mechata begecholam. The Ramach on the Rambam says that ketuma is a heker. It's a reminder that I shouldn't be mechata b'cholam. So Moshe Feinstein writes that our blech counts as gerufa uketuma. Now, that's what Rav Moshe says. Rav Moshe says that just like the din of gerufot, let's talk about ketuma, putting the ashes on the coals. The ashes are right on top of the coals. So therefore, zakta maisha, a blech works because a blech is right on top of the fire. But if I just cover the knobs, that does not help because that's not the mitzius at the time of the Gemara. Even though when I cover the knobs, it's not likely that I'll stoke the coals, because we're assuming, again, the equivalent to stoking the coals for us is raising the heat, adding more gas. So it's not likely. That's a hecker, probably. Or it's a mesiach das, maybe. Rav Moshe says the hecker has to be a hecker on top of the coals. So you need a piece of metal on top of the coals. That's a blech. In the sefer that Rav Eider wrote on Hilchas Shabbos, he quotes, right, Rav Eider first learned in Ayeshiva, then he went to Lakewood. He spoke to Rav Aaron Cutler. Rav Aaron Cutler said that covering the knobs is enough to be grufo ketuma. It's a chumra, igros moshe simen sadi gimel. It's a chumra to do both, to cover the fire and to cover the knobs. If you go to the blech stores, right, the Sfarim stores, or in the five towns, they have like these stores of like Frum appliances, right? So they sell blechs that have a, right, there's a horizontal and there's a vertical and a horizontal, no? Both. The idea is that you're, you'll say both, you're covering the fire and you're covering the knobs. That's a good chumra to have. Nonetheless, the Chazon Ish writes that he doesn't think our blechs help at all. You see, Rashi writes that the lumdus of grufo ketuma is that it's mitzanein the gecholim. It cools it down. The Lashon in Shulchan Aruch is like that. It's like the Torah and like Rashi. It has to be mitzanein the gecholim. If I have a piece of metal on top of the fire, the amount of tzinun that you have is infinitesimal. It's not really tzinun, no? It doesn't really cool it down. So the Chazon Ish writes that the shehiya shenohog kayom baritzenu hakadosha, don't do it. Because what people do is they put the pot, right? Again, we're talking about a pot between Ruah and, let's say, Michael ben Jerusai. The Chazon Ish holds that Michael ben Jerusai is a gevaldik akula. That pot between those two stages, they leave it on a fire with a blech. Chazon Ish says it doesn't help because the blech, what's it called? The blech doesn't really cool it down. Somebody, I forgot who already, told me that he was once in Reb Chaim Kanievsky's kitchen, and he sees that Reb Chaim Kanievsky has a blech that's like on stands, no? Instead of just a plain piece of metal, he has like stands, that the piece of metal is a face like 6-8 inches on top of the fire. That's a Chazon Ish blech, no? Because that's mitzanein. Your food is not, right? If I have a piece of metal directly in the fire, that's not mitzanein. But if I have it elevated, so that's going to be mitzanein. So that's called the Chazon Ish blech. Okay. So what we have is, again, we have a few coolers. If the food is between, if the food is completely raw, the food is Meichel Ben Jerusai, between completely raw Meichel Ben Jerusai, so we have a cool of a blech, right? There's a cool of Tayach Betit that'll help, even if it is in this stage between completely raw and fully cooked, etc. Those are the dinim. But frekt Reb Ki Veger Akasha. You know, we learned in Shin Yud Ches that according to the Bir Halacha and Sif Daled points out that according to the Rambam, I only say Ein Bishal Achar Bishal when the food is fully cooked. If the food is Meichel Ben Drusai, there's going to be an Isser of Bishal Achar Bishal. certainly, if I have food that is not yet kemeichel ben derusai, like our shehiya case, so there would be an iser bishul if you heat that food up to make it meichel ben derusai. So frekt Reb Kiva Eger, shouldn't there be a concern of Dilma Magus? If I have food that's on my blech and the food is not yet meichel ben derusai, so standard Judaism is that's okay. But frekt Reb Kiva Eger, why is it okay? Don't you have to worry, Dilma Magus, that the guy is going to come and stir the food, right? Shem Yechad B'Gecholam is not stirring the food. Shem Yechad B'Gecholam means that you're going to stoke the coals. This is that you might stir the food. So I go into Kiva Eger, is nervous that you might stir the food, but no one said that before Reb Kiva Eger. So that's another reason not to do Shehiyah in this in-between stage. If you're nervous about going to Reb Kiva Eger, in the Sefer Nefesh HaRev, Rav Shechter tells the story about a couple came and they wanted to get divorced. And the reason why they wanted to get divorced is because my wife is being mechal al Shabbos. What she does is she takes the food and it's between completely ruined meichel ben derusai, and she leaves it on the blech. And I learned that that's like a terrible thing, so we have to get divorced. So Rav Soloveitchik is like, okay, where's your family from? Galicia. Where's your family from? Hungary. Ah! Two different minhagim. In Galicia, they did it this way. In Hungary, they did it that way. Don't get divorced. It's not worth it. Right? No, what's that two minhagim based on? The shayla is, am I choshesh for Reb Kiva Eger? Am I nervous about the chumra of Reb Kiva Eger? So again, so these are some of the basic dinim of Shehiya. And what we're trying to do is just give like a basic overview of the dinim. Today's Thursday. So on Monday, Bezras Hashem, I want to do HaChazara. And on Tuesday, Bezras Hashem, I want to do Hatmana. Any questions, comments, observations? Okay. Gentlemen, have a marvelous day.